Okay, well, let's just get started and let's just jump into the question immediately. So your new album is well, it's already came out in Europe and it's coming out in the US. Can you tell us more about it?
Well, the new album is called Those Who Got to Death. It's on Nuclear Blast Records. It comes out here in the States on November 3rd.
Okay, is there a concept album or do you guys it's just disconnected songs?
I don't know. There's not any one single unifying concept, although several of the songs deal with, one second, please.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no single unifying theme, but several songs do, deal with, you know, rebellion against God, or denial of God, or, you know, any one of several classes.
And how do you think it's different from your previous albums?
Well, I think this album we've actually, you know, put in the most, the longest, hardest working effort of any Nile record ever. I mean, we started writing this back in January. We went in the studio in the beginning of June, and we finished up the second week of September. So a lot of long, hard months involved in all that. You know, hard work and sacrifice beyond anything we've ever done before.
Are you satisfied with the end product, or there's still something that you think you could have changed?
Well, it's too early, you know, to have any hindsight on it. The album just, you know, recently got finished. So right now we're pretty happy with it. But you know, as I guess after time, you start seeing things a little bit differently. Who knows? How we'll feel about this record a year from now.
So, how do you think it differs whenever you write all your own stuff for your personal side project and for Nile? How do you think the process is different?
Well, it's very different. But Nile, usually, like, I'll write the words first, and, you know, then make guitar and drum demos. And, you know, at that point, it goes to the rest of the band. Whereas with side projects, it never goes to the rest of the band. It's my house.
And, I mean, most of the Nile stuff, it has to deal a lot with the Egyptian culture. Where did your fascination for it came from?
Probably it's been there, you know, it was kind of a personal interest or a, like a hobby kind of thing. Definitely not an obsession. If I have any obsessions, it's always my electric guitar.
So, do you read a lot about it, or how do you get informed so you can actually write the lyrics and stuff?
Well, I have quite an extensive, you know, collection of books on my shelf. There's also the History Channel, the library, and yeah, there's lots of stuff all around.
So have you been to Egypt and seen the pyramids yourself?
Not yet. One of my big hopes in life is actually to make it over. Fortunately, playing death metal for a living, we don't have a retirement plan or a health care package or general insurance or holiday pay. Yeah, death metal doesn't pay for this. So, you know, even if I had the time, you know, I don't know that I could actually afford to go.
Oh, okay.
Normally the irony is when the day comes that I stop playing in Nile will be the day that I can actually afford to go to Egypt.
So what would you be doing if you were not playing death metal?
Probably back in the software business.
Back in sorry, I couldn't hear that?
Back in the software business.
Oh, okay, so you have your kind of your fallback plan?
Well, it's not a fallback plan. All my eggs are in the metal basket, so to speak. you know, you said, what if?
So what about the touring part? Does it make it hard having a family and being away for long months?
Yeah, I mean, just because I'm away doesn't mean that, you know, my responsibilities as a parent end, nor do the bills all of a sudden magically disappear just because I'm on tour. Nope. In fact, when I get back home, there's a big pile of bills generally waiting for me to, you know, to pay. yeah, lots of fun.
So what are you guys' hopes for the new album? What are you planning on reaching that you haven't done so before?
Well, we're hoping to go to India and China on this tour cycle, so that's going to be new for us. Really, beyond that, I think the plan is just to continue being metal. The upcoming tours with that Christian and Immolation as support act, so I'm sure quite a bit of metal will be taking place.
Do you ever consider making changes to the music to make it more commercial or listener, well, normal listener friendly?
Well, I suppose that depends on how normal a listener we're talking about. I think as Deathmetal goes, you know, we definitely try to care about listeners. I mean, you know, and really have, you know, songs, so much as you can have songs in a Deathmetal context. But as far as, like, you know, ever becoming, like, all metal worthy or airplay kind of band, that's not for us.
So you will never compromise your musical integrity for financial purposes, I guess?
Well, I doubt it. I mean, we haven't really yet, so I don't see any reason to start.
And what do you think the new band's coming up with different alternatives to metal, whereas now it's been playing the same style consistently? Do you think you'll ever experiment with more modern sounding genres?
No, that Nile is going to be like a deathcore band or a mallcore band or anything like that ever. I mean, experimentation I think is fine, but you know, you're never going to find any hardcore rapping.
So what was the need you thought that sparked your side project?
Well, really, that was just music that I'd been playing for quite a while at home, just to kind of relax and chill out. And some people suggested to me that, you know, maybe I should share that with everyone. So yeah, that's when it, you know, I kind of decided to, you know, actually put it out and let people enjoy some of the fun too.
And would you think you'll ever perform that stuff live?
Oh yeah, it's quite a demand on my time already to tour one band with Nile. I think touring two bands at this point would be very much unfair to my family.
Oh. But, meaning if you have, like, a downtown from now, will that make it sometime, someday? Or is something
sure,
that...
Yeah, if we decide to take an extended break from now, then, yeah, that would be time to tour something.
Would it be...
But it's not today, my friend. Today is the day to slam home new record, those who got the test.
So how do you compare the crowds when touring in Europe or America? What do you think are the main differences?
I'd say touring in America is more convenient. I'd say that audiences in America are much more trend-oriented. Like people like you for like a year or 2 years. Yeah, until whatever becomes popular next happens to be in fashion. In America, you're often re-recruiting a new audience every couple of years.
And in Europe, do you think they're more faithful?
Yeah, but I think it's a more stable thing. Like, people aren't so dictated to by trends. very reason. Very trend-oriented.
So what do you think about the current technologies that allowed more people to get access to the band's music, but also on the downside, a lot of people to get the music for free?
Well, I think we live in changing times, my friend. I think, as technology has evolved, the ways in which, we distribute and disperse music are changing. And the business model that worked in the previous years is no longer really a working solution. I mean, CD sales take a 35% hit each year over the preceding year. Guys in a struggling death metal band like us, I mean, that's a real tangible hit, making our lives a whole lot tougher. But, I mean, what are you going to do? Cry about technology? That seems kind of gay. I think we're just like in the middle of a transition phase until people start figuring out, how, to restore the balance. Because right now it's definitely not a balance.
So what would you think, or at least what would you do with like an album release to address those issues? What would you add, or what would you take away, or how would you release it?
Well, I wouldn't give it to journalists anymore. That's the first fucking thing I do, because that's who leaks out our metal journalists, and that's fucking sad, because you would think that metal journalists would actually be hip enough to care about fans, care about artists who are struggling to make a living in this day and age. On one hand, I'm a little bit disappointed in metal journalists. Yeah, ouch. And that's probably the case of a few individuals who are acting and perhaps not a reflection on every person that wields a pen or a typewriter in the name of metal. That's the first thing I do. If we're still going to say we want to put CDs in stores, right, if that's still the gig, right,
mm-hmm.
then that's what we need to do, put CDs in stores. I think Toys need the release, before it even hits the streets, like this Now record. It was leaked like 3 days after we had did it over to the record. and as funny as that is, I mean, it's not funny.
Oh, no, yeah, I know, definitely.
This record cost me a huge amount of my life. It cost a lot of money to make this record. The fact that, it was casually leaked out, before it even got close to a release date, is extremely disheartening. But at the same time, what are you going to do? Cry? I mean, this is the age that we live in. Perhaps in the future, technology will restore the balance so that artists can actually get paid again for what they did.
So you're saying that most of your Now revenue comes from albums, then, not from touring?
It's part of the equation. It's getting harder and harder to make a living touring as well. The price of gas, when it spiked a couple years ago,
yeah.
I mean, really put crunch. I mean, it's our single biggest expense. fuel in the tour bus, or gas in the tour van, however you want to spice it up.
Yeah.
The biggest expense. If it weren't for me giving guitar lessons on tour now, it would definitely not be worth my time going out on tour. Yeah, I mean, people really don't think about the economic realities if you're like a death metal band. And I don't think necessarily fans should have to worry about that stuff. Well, because, it's music. And I'm only doing it because I love music. If I were doing metal should be making money, then there's better ways to make money. what keeps us going is we love death metal. We love playing it. And we love taking it to the people. And that's what's kept us going, even, you know, through tough times, especially tough economic times right now.
So you think that, how do you think the new release is timed? Do you think it's good to release in the late year, or where were you would have preferred to release the album?
No, what time of the, I'm not sure I understand the question. What time of the year is it best to release a record? Is that the question?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you should release it after it gets done, whenever that may be. Obviously, if you release it in time for Christmas, then, you know, you capitalize on all the people that are Christmas shopping.
Oh, okay.
So that's a good thing. Yeah. That's, although that wasn't strategically what we had in mind, it just turned out that way. This record actually should have been done, like, halfway through the summer instead of halfway through September. we were hoping for a fall release.
Oh, okay.
Not, yeah. But, you know, it says this record just took longer. It was an amazing amount of hard work to have to go into this record. Time-consuming and costly.
And what do you think about your label's approach of streaming the whole album like a week after it's released on the band's MySpace pages?
You know, I don't know what to even think about that. Ideally, you know, in a perfect society, music would be free. And artists, you know, would have a living just like anybody else. yeah, but that's not the world we live in. Unfortunately, we live in a capitalist society, and the fucking electric company doesn't care, you know, about anything like that. So I don't know what to fucking think about streaming the record from MySpace. I mean, I don't know anymore.
Yeah, because, I mean, I also haven't seen that it's a tangible contribution that people actually listen to it on MySpace and then they just go and buy it. I quite...
Yeah, I don't think I've bought any records because I heard something on MySpace. Yeah. Usually, if I buy a CD, it's, you know, because I heard someone play it, or I saw the band at a show, or someone told me about it, or, you know, I read an interview, or...
And what do you think about the changing paradigm in press also, now that, I mean, print magazines, well, Metal Maniacs went under, and a lot of them are having problems?
It's, you know, like we were talking about before, technology is changing a lot of stuff. The old business models are not working so well anymore. Metal Maniacs was like, you know, a long-running, you know, metal publication. You'd think if anybody could have kept going, it would have been them. But
yeah,
magazines are falling by the wayside, left and right.
Yeah, well, at least now with this, I mean, this interview is probably going to be posted by tomorrow, which will allow people to actually have access to it almost instantly compared to every month waiting for something.
I agree. You know, the internet is full of amazing good things. And some stuff that's not as good. Like I said, I think we're in a transitional period where everything is kind of like, you know, the way things used to be is not the way it is anymore. And it's, you know, kind of shaken off. And until, you know, perhaps things settle down and, you know, we find a balance again of how to work with the new way things are done, then, you know, we're going to have stuff like this. People crying about downloading music
guess it wasn't, well, for current bands, I mean, for new bands, it's a more struggle type of time, I guess. What do you think about that?
I'd say, yes. I would hate to have to be a band just starting out right now, on one hand, because the opportunities are harder to take out. But then again, you know, there's bands that have successfully marketed themselves through MySpace. I mean, just look at Job for a Cowboy. look how far they managed to do that. How far they were able to take it as a band. Now they got albums out, now they're touring, and wow. That's a mind blower right there. So, on the one hand, things are tough, but there's also new and different opportunities. Interesting times we live in, my friend.
So, going more back to your touring, well, I have a question. If you guys ever, well, probably not, but if you ever had unlimited amount of money for a stage setup, what would you guys use?
I don't know. Are we fantasizing now?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I'd probably turn that over to someone else and let someone else get into this. Me, I'm a guitar player. I love to play guitar. It's what I've spent my whole life doing. So, to me, that's what a Nile show means for me. I love playing metal. I love playing the guitar. And that's what I can do. I'll let somebody else worry about this.
Well, I guess those were kind of my questions. Is there anything else you want to add for the people reading this interview and probably illegally downloading your album?
You know, no one's taking away the chance for you to go to a store and pick up that CD if you like what you heard. But some, you know, maybe, hopefully it saves people from buying some shit they wouldn't like. Like, if you heard the CD and you didn't like the band, well, you don't have to buy the CD anymore. Right? So maybe it's a way to make more informed choices about stuff.
Oh, well, any other plug for the album or anything else you want to have on record?
Yeah, we got a new album. It's called Those Are the Guys Who Test. We worked real hard on it. Check it out.
Well, okay. Well, thank you very much for your time, and hope the new album and the tour is cool. That's planned.
Well, thank you, my friend.
Okay. Well, thank you, and have a good day.
You too.
Bye.